Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jerica. Hey,
this is Keenan.
This is Matthew, and you are listening to the Glass House Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Glass House Podcast. We are so excited and so honored. You guys have jumped on for another episode. I tell you what, man, I've enjoyed our last couple conversations.
Yep.
You guys for finding creative ways to let us know that you enjoy it. Whether that be your statuses on Facebook, whether that be your, some of y'all ain't been putting nothing in the reviews lately. So I want to encourage you, man, to go ahead and put something in the review. It's just like when you go to Yelp, when you think about going to a restaurant, right? When you're about to go hop up on a restaurant, what you do, pull up the reviews to see what other people think about it. And I'm telling you, your ways and your contribution back to this podcast is simply to just leave a review so you will give someone else a precursor of the experience they will hear on the Glass House Podcast. Everybody, you know the podcast ain't nothing without Keenan and Collins. Keenan, Collins, say what's up while you are on the podcast. Say what's up.
What up? What up? What's going on? Good to see y'all. We can't see y'all, but you know what I mean. Good to see y'all. Yeah.
Good to see he's delayed, praise God. Is everybody all right today?
We're good, man. Man, we're good.
Yarning, so I'm not sure if he's all right. So,
yeah. That's what he does. He does that.
But he's doing it louder too, though. That's my problem. But anyways,
and he keeps doing it. That's my problem.
Yeah. He loves to record on the wall of degrees. But we're moving on. anyways, guys. So today we're having a very a serious conversation. I think every conversation we have at the Glass House is serious, but in particular, Ali, this conversation is even more serious because I think that a lot of people are in several positions and placements in their life. People are either coming out or going through something. And the truth is, no matter how perfect your life may be, all of us got some stuff, right? Would you guys agree, man? All of us got some stuff, whether that be good stuff, bad
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
Perfect stuff, imperfect stuff. And the advantages and disadvantages of that, the disadvantage is some of us are afraid to meet new people and do new things because of our baggage. But the advantage of that is there is somebody on this earth tailored just for you with all your stuff. However, in our gift of singleness, in our journey of wholeness, there's some stuff that we got to fix now. We'll break other people later. Let me say that for the people that won't subscribe. There's some stuff we got to fix in us now. If not, we will meet people and break them later. So today, man, we're going to talk about trauma, right? A very strong word that's often denoted, but most people really don't get into it, man. So we're just going to share our perspective about trauma. Number one, the first thing is, what is trauma? Let's go ahead and define it before we start talking about it, man. Trauma is a deeply distressing or disturbing experience. That's what trauma is. And so if you listen to this podcast thinking about before you click off, I ain't got no trauma. Don't click off yet. I promise you it's about to get good. What is trauma? Trauma is a deeply distressing or disturbing experience. And so if you don't fit that category, you want to share, rather break down three different kind of trauma, three different kind of experiences of trauma. And maybe this is not to diagnose anybody. Ain't nobody up on here, no therapist, no counselor, but you give your boy 2 years. I promise you, we're going to be talking about that. But anyway, we're not diagnosing anybody, but I think it's worth talking about. So we're going to talk about three different kinds of trauma, and then we're going to kind of dig into some question and some answer type of thing real quick. So the first kind of trauma is acute trauma. It mainly results from a single distressing event, such as an accident, an assault, or a natural disaster. This event is extreme, even enough to threaten the person's emotional or physical security. This event creates a lasting impression on the person's mind. It simply is just like one thing in somebody's life. There's some stuff that can just happen one time to mess somebody up mentally, and that's acute trauma. Keenan?
The next kind of trauma there is, guys, is chronic trauma. It happens when a person is exposed to multiple long-term and or prolonged distressing traumatic events over an extended period of time. Chronic trauma may result from a long-term serious illness, sexual abuse, domestic violence, bullying, and exposure to extreme situations such as war. Just kind of naming off some of those things and reading that definition there, I know that we can all either picture someone we know, someone we're close with, who may have experienced those things, or even us ourselves who may have experienced experienced those things. Last season, if y'all did not listen to it, the greatest conversation I think we had last season with the young lady who was our guest, she talked about a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to cover those. So that's chronic trauma.
Well, another type of trauma is complex trauma. And so complex trauma describes both children's exposure to multiple traumatic events, often of an invasive interpersonal nature, and the wide-ranging long-term effects of this exposure. And so complex trauma deals with children mostly, but I think that it can extend beyond that. I mean, I think it could deal with multiple people. You could be an adult and deal with complex trauma because of what you dealt with as a child or as an adolescent. And I think that's important to grasp because as you live as an adult, you realize that you are suffering from certain things that could actually be a mental illness and you don't know it. It could be linked to complex trauma. And so I think that's so important because so many children grow up and they live in these realities and they don't realize why they are living in these realities. They don't realize why they're actually depressed. They don't realize why they're actually tired. I was actually listening to this documentary on like food study and how certain people, as they get older, are more tired, not because like they maybe just ate something bad the day before, but because of what they ate when they were younger. That food pattern literally over the years makes you become more tired and more tired as you get older. And so like that's like a practical example of like what trauma could do, and you don't even know what it's doing to you. And I think that's why it's important to talk about like these feelings of uneasiness, especially like with COVID, you're trapped in the house. You know, some children are trapped in the house with people that they're not safe with.
Yeah.
And they can't run and go to school. School's online, you know, and so are we talking about like some abusive fathers, some abusive mothers, some negligent fathers and negligent mothers, and like some abusive spouses that creates this trauma within other people's life. So I think that's why that's important. But Matt, can you just talk to us about some ways of like dealing with trauma?
Yeah, I want to say something, and it's going to divert from our outline a little bit, but I think it's healthy dialogue for the listener right now, man. And that is, if we really didn't see what multi-generational trauma looks like, I think last summer was an example of that. We sat and watched as the world was infuriated by public shame to African-Americans as it pertains to police brutality and being shot down and, you know, going into somebody's house, killing them. What I'm talking about is the African-American trauma. And we watched, and particularly, Collins, you were over at my house one day in the summer, and we literally watched on TV, live on CNN, we watched African-Americans we watched the TV as if though we were watching the early 1950s and 60s. Only thing they didn't have was water hoses. But we watched at the time the President of the United States forcibly move a peaceful protest because he wanted to walk in front of a church. I'm going somewhere. What I'm trying to say is, in that way, we're supposed to say sorry for a building that burnt down when they never gave us the building they promised us. Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to have a conversation about African-Americanism, but what I am saying is that we think that, okay, because, you know, you 24, you 25, you 26, why are you mad? No, I'm mad because my grandma was mad. And I'm mad because what I read about in the history books is now repeating itself. What was supposed to be history is now part of our current society. And so I want to open the flat. I know this is kind of off our outline a little bit. I know we shortening up the episodes, but if we can kind of revert back in time, because predominantly, whether we believe it or not, most of our base is African American. And what I know for a fact is this, my brothers, that is what happened this summer will go down in history. But what matter even so the more is what we do going forward. So can, really quickly, I know it's off of our notes, really quickly, can we talk about how we watch that trauma of the civil rights movement and, you know, okay, let's speed it up, the trauma of Trayvon Martin, how that trauma was present and how it
Breonna turned Taylor. How it turned Breonna into Taylor.
So Keenan, go first, then Collins, because I know Collins ready to say something. So Keenan, just if you could talk about, you know, as you are a youth pastor, you are, talk about what you saw unfold and how it unfold as a result of the trauma of how Black people, I'm just going to say it, how Black people have been treated in America. I mean, I ain't trying to be, I'm saying what I'm saying. God bless. Go ahead, Keenan.
I think, I'll say for me personally, I'll say for me personally, growing up and going to grade school, I didn't challenge history that I was learning past whatever my teacher told me, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't challenge history. I didn't challenge what was being taught to me. I didn't challenge it. I didn't, you know, my parents didn't speak of it much. My grandparents didn't speak of it much. The little stories that I did know, I would just be in awe, like, we watched the movies about Martin Luther King and we watched the movies about Malcolm X, but there was not a personal connection for me until maybe 2 or 3 years ago. When, not that I experienced it on my own, but it was literally coming alive for me.
Yeah.
What my grandmother was talking about, what my granddad was talking about, and, you know, about all the protests that they did, I applauded them while they told me, because I never saw that with my own two eyes. But within the recent years, now I start to see that. And now I start to say, well, will this be me, right? And I think what hurts us the most, or what traumatizes us the most, is the idea of, this can really be me, or this can really be a friend of mine, or this can really be somebody that's attached to me. And I think that's what triggers it. Like, it triggers the fact that, wow, like, this hasn't stopped, or this hasn't ended, or this hatred, or whatever. And the thing about it is, we're fighting, but are we fighting for it to end, or are we fighting to gain some type of peace? Because gaining peace doesn't mean that the storm is over.
Yeah, no, that's good, Keenan. That's good. Yeah. Gaining peace doesn't mean that the storm is over. Before you go, Collins, I think we got to learn the difference between our intuition and our trauma misleading us. Then we got to know the difference between the two. But go ahead, Collins, add a little bit to that real quick.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially the experience over the summer, Savannah, Georgia was not the only place where people were marching. We saw people marching all over the country. But I think that was what was so historic for me was to be in Savannah, the place where the first slaves came.
Yeah.
On the coast of Savannah, up and down the coast of Savannah in South Carolina. People could talk about Mississippi and all of that, but where the first slaves touched down was in that area. And so to see those people marching on the same streets that slaves were dragged up, right? Mm-hmm. And slaves mm-hmm. were dragged up and chained, right? Mm-hmm. Black people and white allies. And there were some feds out there, meaning there were some people watching to go and tell again. There's always feds in the crowd. But to see those people marching for the right to be Black and to be Black and just to be Black, not Black and educated, not Black and having money, but just to be right. Black, right? And to know that Black is not only beautiful, but that Black is not only valuable, but that Black is who we are. And everything that we have is because of Black people. Everything that we have built is in some way built because of us. And so that's what people were marching for. And I think that was a wonderful thing. I look at that and I think about an experience that same summer, around that same time, I was pulled over because I think I had my taillight or something was out or whatever. They pulled me over. I'm already conscious of what's happening, right? Because I know what could go down, right? And so I'm looking in my side mirror as he approaches me. His handle of his gun is already undone.
Wow.
So, you know, I do what I do, whatever, but there's no telling. I'm watching the mirror, because despite how I talk, how eloquent I am, despite what I do right or what I do wrong, there's really no right or wrong in this situation. Should nobody be scared that somebody gonna shoot them through their car for being pulled over for a taillight or whatever. Despite all of that, your pouch is on. Why is your gun pouch unbuttoned? You don't think I see that? You know, and so those things matter. And in this culture and climate, we look on TV, that don't have nothing to do with me. And they shoot your black, I'll just about to cuss.
We just had to bleep you last week, Doc.
Listen here, I almost cussed. And they shoot your black behind, and then it's a problem. And then people start mourning. But the truth is, man, like, that stuff is so real. And I think, like, people really, like, feel like it's a game. But they've been saying that since Emmett Till was killed. It was a game when they killed Emmett too, right?
Yeah.
And then the woman comes back years later. She older, her age, about to die. And I'm talking about something. Oh, he actually didn't do anything to me.
Well, I think.
Oh, so you think this is a game for them? You get what I'm saying?
You said something that I think we need to talk about, and I want you to talk in it to it, Kenan. You said your expectation, your reaction was based upon what you saw before. So you weren't shot by the police before. You weren't directly pulled over, profiled, and embarrassed and recorded and so on and so forth. But because we have seen that that's not even focused on 2030. We've seen that in our present day. Your reaction automatically became tense and really afraid because of what could happen, not because it had already happened to you before. So when we talk about trauma, Kenan and Collins, I think it's more so for the fact that we're dealing with chronic trauma that continues to happen, which defers our reaction and responses. So it's like, it's okay, I ain't never been shot. Nobody, you know, I never been shot by police instantaneously, a young black man, but we've seen it with Trayvon. We've seen it with Mike Brown. So Kenan, maybe you can add continuity to just our experiences as young people, as young adults, based upon other people's experiences that we may or may not have heard about. How does that relate to like trauma?
I think it relates to trauma, especially now in the time that we're in, because everything that we see, or everything that can be seen, is seen. Does that make sense?
No, everyone has
cameras. Everything that can be seen is seen. Police brutality can be seen, it is seen. Everyone has cameras. Everyone has a camera. If you have a phone, you have a camera. If you have a tablet, you have a camera. If you have a computer, you have a camera, right? And I think it goes past the fact that, yeah, it didn't happen in my neighborhood, but the fact that I keep seeing this over and over again. I tell you no lie, when all of this stuff was going on during the summer, and COVID was trickling up, and we were moving here to Texas. And they shut down Atlanta during that time. They literally shut down Atlanta. Mm-hmm. That was the same night that I was driving to Houston, right? But I tell you no lie, I was afraid driving in my car at midnight or 1 a.m. just trying to travel because of what I saw on social media. And I'd say, it didn't happen to me, but because I saw it so many times, because it played on the news, it played. Me and my friends were talking about it, you know, because it every time I looked on social media, it was there. It was a repeated picture of not me, not my friend, but just a black body being beaten, a black body being, you know, mistreated, mishandled, with people around looking at it. So now I don't think the fact that, oh, okay, yeah, this just happened to somebody else. No, it's the fact that this can happen to me while I'm around people, while people are recording, and nothing can be done about it. So or nothing will be done about it.
Would you say, and I want us to get into this because I know we're off our notes, but I think we're in a good place right now, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Would you say, Collins, when I say this, I want you to really just dive into this. And I know sometimes we said often that silence is violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, and we have this in our outline here about, you know, reactions, responses, and resolutions. So do you think that some people are afraid to speak on certain things because they haven't directly experienced it? Or, you know, I personally believe that our responses may or may not often be our positions. However, they can be our perceptions. Some people don't speak up about certain things because they feel like, one, they've not experienced it equally, or two, because they feel like they haven't accomplished enough to talk about it. Kenan is simply saying, I was driving somewhere and I was afraid because it was happening in that very moment. I started having flashbacks of everything that happened with African-Americans driving at night, protests, crazy, so on and so forth. So would you say that some people do not respond because they're complacent, or some people do not respond because it ain't happened to them? Or they're just scared?
I think it's a twofold.
It's good to me. I don't even know how we got here.
It's good. No, it's good. It's trauma. I think it's a twofold street. I think on the one hand, a lot of people don't speak on it because they are used to it. Okay. A common critique that people would make about people who did not run away from plantation is that they were cowards, and those slaves were cowards, and all of that type of jazz. You don't know the psychological war people are going through in slavery every day. For you to say that just because somebody had courage to run and somebody had courage to stay, it still required courage. And so there are some people who live in these experiences, and they know what's happening, but it happens so much that they don't talk about it. My grandmother never really talked about racism. Mm-hmm. My grandmother is an older woman. She knows what segregation is. She knows what racism is. She never talks about it. Why is that? Because she's so used to it. And so I think that's a piece of it. Right?
I saw something. We were protesting in Savannah, right? And mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember this sign, but I saw it on my phone yesterday. There was this lady like marching steps ahead of us, and she said on the sign, "I'm 78 and I can't believe I'm still marching about the same damn thing." You know, so I remember that sign.
And that's the reality. And that's the reality that some people are living in that experience. And then on the other hand, I think some people don't do it because some people actually don't believe that there's a problem, right? Some people have actually convinced themselves, and some scholars argue over this. And scholars say it's because we've entered into the modern age and we got all this money and we got access to jobs mm-hmm. and all of this. We can get a little health care, and we think we done made it, and the white folks don't gave us some. They elected Barack Obama and whatever that meant. They elected Barack Obama, and now we think we good, right? And so they're like, oh no, we're good, you know. It's just some people not realizing that you can't build upon a system that was built for your demise. You have to destroy that system. But that takes us educating our community. And then I think on the flip side, and I'm gonna let you go, but I think on the flip side, I'm gonna say this because I think that this needs to be heard. On the flip side, people who are woke, quote unquote, needs to inform their community. You can't be woke and not inform your community. You wanna be so woke and then say, oh, I'm woke, but nobody around you wakes up. Some people don't wanna wake up, but somebody needs to wake up, okay? So if you're so woke, right, your wokeness should wake somebody else up. And so we have to inform our community what this means. What is systematic racism? People don't know what that means. What does that even mean? You go to somebody's grandma, they don't know nothing about that. You got to explain what that means. What is institutional race? All these big words. You got to let people know what this is and give them models, give them charts. We have to start walking hand in hand with our communities. We go to these ivory towers and don't make sense. You have to make it make sense if you want people to change. But yeah, that's what I'm gonna say.
No, that's good. No, that's good. Now, to shift gears a little bit, there's somebody listening to us right now, man, literally to the sound of our voice, and they can't relate to what we're talking about as it pertains to racial trauma in America. Maybe there's somebody listening to us who was molested before or who will call names in school, right? And those are all traumatic experiences. I want you to know to never allow someone to minimize your experience because of their lack of exposure. Never allow somebody to say that that is not that big or not that major because they didn't go through it. There is some stuff that happens in our lives that will literally break us. Who am I talking to on podcast? Yeah. And if we don't, and I'm saying this because I want everybody to hear us who's spiritual listening to our podcast. You need Jesus and you need a therapist. I'm gonna say it again. You need Jesus if that's who you want to worship, and you need, if you want Zeus, go and get you some Zeus. If you want Buddha, go ahead and get you some Buddha. Get Ali, get all of them if you want to get them, but get some counseling too. Because certain things you live through, you have to talk through. Yeah. Kenan, I want you to, if you can, I want you to really get into how can a person move forward when they have gone through something traumatic? Not vaguely, but you personally, if you've gone through anything, if you know somebody that's gone through anything, what are some healthy habits that we can gain to go through traumatic experiences?
I would say the first thing is, this is what I say, education and support. That's my two things. Of course, there can be a lot added on to that. There could be, you know, a lot of subtitle, whatever. But I believe that when you're dealing with a traumatic experience, and any traumatic experience, I mean, from domestic violence to drug abuse to getting in a car accident to whatever it is, I think the two things that one needs to seek after is education. And when I mean education, educate yourself. Go get a book. Educate yourself not only on that particular sense of trauma, but just educate yourself on not how can I get out of this, but how can I find me in this, right? How can I find me in this? Where am I placed in this situation? In this, how can I find me in this? And when you're educating yourself, trying to answer that question, the best thing for you to have is genuine support. You know, that group of friends that it don't even have to be a group of people. It can be one person. It could be, you know, it could be a family member. It could be whatever, but find that genuine support. Somebody who's going to not have a pity party with you, but someone who is going to challenge you, someone who is going to believe in you, someone who's going to pat you on your back, but also tell you when you're wrong.
Right. Good. And if I can add to this, somebody that does that, and then somebody that says, I need you to take your tale to counseling.
Yeah.
You need somebody to tell you that. And this is what I'm going to say. And Max, you got it. You can close us on out. This is what I'm going to say.
Well, are we closing already? Is that a thing?
you're the host today. He's the host today.
This is my thing.
We do not encourage people for counseling. Let me tell you. Let me let you know something. These, and this no offense, but y'all know how I talk. I ain't got no need to apologize for nothing. These white people at Yale University have free counseling out the wazoo.
Yeah, why though?
Do you know how easy it is to be counseled here?
But why?
Because these systems are set up, well, we want to talk about it systematically set up for them, but because it's a normal part of what they do.
That's what I wanted you to say. It's normal.
And we're the ones most traumatized, right?
Yeah.
But we have never been taught these things. It's never been like a honorable thing. Man, counseling will help you to sit on somebody's sofa and to release yourself from these things that you feel like you got to carry. And all of y'all that feel like, oh, you a man and all this. Whatever you got, I'm not even gonna go into manhood and misogyny and all that. I'm gonna stay here. But you think you're a man and all of this, whatever that means, right? Or you think, oh, I can do bad all by myself, you're gonna hurt yourself. It ain't gonna be no more you at the end. This stuff will take you out of here. There are people who literally sit and contemplate their own death because they don't want to go and talk to anybody about it. So you have to have friends who can encourage you, but be real with you and say you need to go to counseling. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you can't go to counseling because you don't have means. Listen, if you have insurance, you could pay $25 a session for an hour. See, folks don't know that. But I think you spend more money on clothes and jewelry and electronics. But the truth is, you need to know that if you have, you know, what they have now, Blue Cross Blue Shield, all that stuff, yeah, y'all know what they got. Whatever you have, you could pay just a little bit of money and go sit down with a counselor of your choice. Because you can't.
And if you are at a school, any college, any university, even if it's online, they have counselors available. Reach out, ask somebody. Please don't think that it's shameful to go and sit down in front of a quote unquote shrink. The crazy thing about sitting down with a counselor is we think, oh, we're going to sit down and they're going to give us the answers. No. We're going to sit down and they're going to make us jog the answers and figure the answers out for ourselves. They're to help you along and push you along. And in the Black community, we look down on that. But I think we need to start shedding more light on it. And we are. I think we're doing good. But we start shedding more light on that. And people will embrace it.
Well, I think there was this, I know we got to wrap it up. There was this this thing that I learned in school. It talks about the five different kind of soul wounds, right? Rejection, abandonment, humiliation, betrayal, and injustice. These are all kind of different kind of soul wounds. And I bring that up because there's just some stuff. That's some stuff. And it's some heavy stuff. But in the 21st century, I think I'll categorize it as that. We have just told people, take a hit and keep on ticking. There, so somebody listening to this podcast, I'm not trying to get churchy. Somebody listened to this podcast, you've maybe lost a child before. You know, you never talked to nobody about it. You went through that by yourself, or you went through a people, but it still hurts you. Somebody, you may have got into a car accident, you broke a bone and you've recovered from it, but something in your spirit from when you were humiliated, you or when you were down and couldn't do for yourself, it did something to you, right? There's so many different experiences that happens in our lives that we just got to talk about. And Keenan, you know, I'm actually, literally, as we talk on this phone, I'm actually just about to start my next degree program in counseling. And what I've learned, like one of the descriptions in the degree program simply says, counselors don't give answers, they help you find solutions, right? And I think the pressure of counselors is we feel that we have to lead people down a new path or lead people into a path of freedom when it's really navigating, right? The difference between a navigation system and whatever else system you use is the navigation system and a handheld paper map. The map don't talk. But the navigation system, it uses a satellite where it sees way far ahead of places you ain't never been before. And it lets you know what you can project ahead. And I think when you're dealing with trauma, we got to be honest about what we went through and what we can probably project ahead. There's some grief you may never get through. There's some tears you may have to continue to cry. Come on, somebody. I feel like I'm in church. There's some doubt you're going to have to continuously deal with. But to not deal with it at all is to simply say to yourself that I don't want to get better.
Absolutely. 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 I really think that all the conversations we've had so far in this season like require like a part two. So y'all put in the reviews like what y'all think about this, because your opinion matters. We are just so honored to serve y'all through this medium, and I really think that we're gonna have the good times to continue to roll on. So yeah, this has been a fruitful conversation, and looking forward to this. And seriously, if you need help, and you're dealing with some things that now you can recognize as being some sort of trauma, feel free to reach out to one of us. I'm sure that we can help you to try to find you some help, because it's important, and your health is important for your livelihood. So I just wanted to make that clear today, and that this is a place where you are safe.
Keenan?
I second that motion. I really do. I second that motion. I don't have anything to add to that. I think that was perfectly said.
No, yeah, that's good, man. Thank you guys so much for listening, man. Again, you know, we're not your daddy, mama, your pastor, or your leader. but if you allow us to be, we'll be your friend. And the truth is, there is so much that all of us go, I don't care how old you are, there's some stuff that broke your heart before. And we can talk about it. You know what I'm saying? There's some, and it's okay to feel what you feel. Don't stop hanging around people that make you feel like there's something wrong with you because you feel some type of way about something. I don't want nobody in my life who tells me that there is something wrong with me because I feel like there's something not right with this. Let me say that one more time. I don't want anybody in my life who makes me feel bad about myself or makes me feel like there is something wrong with what I feel because I feel like there is something wrong with this. So, man, I want to encourage you guys to get help. Thank you, everybody, man. I can't believe it. We're almost at 1,000 downloads, so we want to simply say thank you. Thank you to everybody that listens to the Glass House Podcast. Let me tell you something now. We do have sponsorships available. So if you want to pay us some money on this podcast, not us directly, but pay the podcast some money to talk about your particular product or particular whatever it is, we will do it, huh? Back in the day, we couldn't say that, but now we got a little audience. So you know what I'm saying? We're going to throw that out there. Yeah. But on a serious note, though, your mental health matters. And we're so honored that you listened to this episode of the Glass House Podcast. Come back next week, next Thursday, 9 a.m. It drops every Thursday. Again, my name is Matthew, and thank you for listening, everybody else.
I'm Jarikas.
I'm Keenan.
Thank you so much for listening. You guys have a great rest of the day, whatever point in the period you're listening to this. Thank you. All right. Peace out. Get help.
Peace.
Help soon. Bye.